God. Well, let's get into the Word of God. We just celebrated 12 years on the mission field. And as Pastor already said, we just had a burden. We started, and I'll tell you more about it tonight. But just my wife and two children, and it's just been one miracle after the next. Now, contrary to popular opinion, nobody, as I walk down the sidewalks, drag on my suit pants, begging for the Holy Ghost. I think that's somewhere else. But in spite of that, God has given us revival. And we have watched amazing things happen. And again, I'll be telling you more about it. But I feel to get into the Word of God today. Luke 1 and 37. I preached here a while back, last Sunday. A girl came up to me and said, I enjoyed the message. She said, I don't remember you, but I remember your stories. So if you'll forgive me, I just got so many stories that happens to you when you're young like me. Amen. Luke 1 and 37, when you're there, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Everybody say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now close your eyes and memorize it. Ready? Now, I'm joking that part. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Close your Bibles up. Clap your hands to the Lord and shout, God bless the Word. Amen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may be seated. I remember years ago, I was seeking direction. I was about to preach at a church, and I put together one of these firehouse messages, and it was called Jailhouse Rock, Paul and Silas. And I said, God, I need direction. I need direction. And the preacher got up and was talking about, as a Sunday school boy, he was asked to sing a song, and he had just started coming on the bus to church, and he got up and sang Blue Suede Shoes. I said, that's all I got to go on. I'm just going to preach. Praise God. That's for the older folks here. Elvis Presley was our divine connection that day. But today you talked about the impossibilities and you sang about it with God. Now, I would like to come to you with some great, great, deep stuff. But I know a lot of these men is Greek and Hebrew, and they can do a lot of that. And I try to get into the root words, and I'm not super deep. I remember several years ago, I was with a friend of mine that he would take index cards and he'd write big old words on them. And he'd clip them on his sun visor, and we'd go riding around, and he'd look up at them and say those big words, you know, hippopotamus and big words. I don't know a lot of big words. I said, why are you doing that? He said, people are impressed with your vocabulary. I said, okay. All right. And I said, what if they don't understand what that means? He said, I'll tell them what it means. I said, now I'm simple country boy from Louisiana, but wouldn't it just be easier to just tell them what you mean to begin with? Now that was too smart for him. But when you look and get into the depth of this thing and you study out the scripture, for with God nothing shall be impossible. What it means is with God nothing shall be impossible. And brother, I'm telling you, that's what it means. There ain't nothing you're going through that's not impossible for God to take care of. There ain't no battle great enough. There ain't no sickness bad enough. There ain't nothing impossible with God. He can take care of everything that you're dealing with. Trust God, brother. Trust God, sister. He is the Almighty God, and He is in control. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world. He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got you and me, sister. Come on, children, help me. In His hands. How many knows everything is in the hand of God?
He can cause nations to rise and to fall. He can cause you. He can set you down. He can raise you up. That's the God we serve. And with Him, nothing shall be impossible. Praise God.
Old days, there was a testimony, everybody'd say, the Lord will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. You ever heard that one? Well, I know that sounds good, but what that does is leave a little option for God that, yeah, or for you in carnality that, yeah, well, there was actually a way out. And I just, you know, the man on the roof that was re-roofing the building, and he starts sliding off, and he's, God, help me, I'll get right out of it. But even right when he gets to the end, a nail catches him on the seat of his britches. He said, never mind, God. You know, that's kind of, he'll make a way where there seemeth to be a way. There was a tack at the end. I'm telling you, if there was a tack at the end that catches your seat of your britches, God put the tack there. Let me just tell you about God. He'll make a way when there is no way. He'll knock a hole in the wall. He'll tear open the forest and put your road there. He'll make a way when there is no way. That's the God we serve. When it looks impossible, when it looks like there's no hope, when it looks like you can't, how am I going to do it? Which way I'm going to turn? I come to tell you about a God that will take care of it for you. Shout yes to Him.
What about that song? He's never failed me yet.
You know, we do some dumb stuff, folks. Just my luck. Somebody here came up and said, my mama wrote that song. But anyway, your mama messed up. She should have left yet off. He's never failed me. He's never failed me, Jesus Christ. He's never failed me yet. What's wrong with you? That means there's a possibility that His failure's coming. And that ain't going to happen. He may not do it the way you want Him to do it, but He'll never fail you. Amen. He'll take care of you. Many, many years ago, I preached up north from Louisiana, far north that there was some mountains and cold weather. And I preached for a church that in their ignorance, somebody's ignorance or my ignorance, somebody had not told them, it's not a bad idea to pay a visiting preacher. And that's not a hint because I know that just, yeah. So I'm way up north. I had to get back to Louisiana. My babies were small. I was broke. Some of you don't think that happens to preachers, but really more than you think. But I'm way up here. I don't know how I'm going to get home. Anybody, y'all remember the Oldsmobile had the 350 diesel engine in them? Anybody remember them? You know what I'm talking about. I think they were made in hell, but I had one. And so here I am. I'm trying to get back home and I'm trying to travel and I get down between two mountain passes and I'm run out of fuel. And here I am out of fuel down between these mountain passes. And do y'all do those marriage seminar retreat thing, my jigs here? Vixen too. Let me start it off for you. Now, let me just tell you, wives, for the most part, husbands do not plan on running out of fuel. It's not something we do out of joy. It's not something that we say, I can't wait to get down the road to run out of fuel just to aggravate my wife. This is really good stuff if you'll listen. It's not like we sit and think this out. Man, if I can get 3 miles up the road between two passes, down between two mountains, point number two, and then I'll move on from this retreat seminar thingamajig. Fussing at him does not put fuel in the tank. Praise God. Anyway, I'm not saying that happened to me, but I'm on the side of the road. My babies are crying. It's getting dark. And my wife has an anointing on her. And we're sitting there. It was bad. I'm contemplating, do I stay in the car or be biblical and get on the rooftop? And so in this great controversy that I'm going through, I'm saying, God, I was just off preaching for you and I don't know what's going on. And a state worker pulls up. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm out of fuel. He said, so I'm out of diesel. He said, well, you can't stay here. I don't want to be here. You've got to go. There's a storm coming. It's getting dark and it's cold. You got to move on. I'm like, come sit in this car a while. And he jumps out of his vehicle and he runs around and he has a big tank on the back and he pulls the nozzle from his truck and he sticks it over into my car and he begins to turn this hand pump. I'm thinking a gallon, so I'm a Jesus and over here for a gallon. Come on, Jesus, just a gallon, get me out of here. And the more I Jesus, the more he pumping. It was a pumping and a Jesus and pumping. And man, we was having a revival, a pump revival on side of the road. I felt like an apostolic cheerleader. I'm go, man, go, go, go. And he's a pumping. And before long, fuel begins to pour out the side. He said, go, and I'm gone. You know what? I was sitting there in the most desperate situation, not knowing what I was going to do, but God sent somebody from out of nowhere, it seemed like. Can I tell you that God can send somebody in the most impossible situations? You can frustrate yourself and say, I don't know what I'm going to do, but look what God has done. And when he takes care of you, brother and sister, he'll do it right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll use a state worker. Now that'll blow your mind. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know, our government's getting bad and this and that. Can I just tell you something? It don't matter what the government does. God has a different government and God is in control. And God has ordained this church to have revival and nothing can stop it. Hallelujah. 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 Shout yes if you believe it. God will send a stranger up to you and take care of you. God will send somebody when you're least expecting it. When I first started the church in Belize, I built a church. I started in the living room. From there, I built a church under a tarpaulin. Cheap, cheap building program. We cut poles out of the jungle. We framed it and we stretched tarpaulin over it, put sawdust down. Had church that way for 3 years. But when I started, I just trying to win folks to God. And I didn't know about, I just didn't have anybody trained. And I had all these drunks from across the road was a bar and they'd come up and they're going to try me. They'd come and they'd stagger to the front, wait till I'm preaching and they'd try to take the mic from me. Thankfully, I'm a pretty good sized feller. And I'd get in my seat. I'd lay my mic down, get the seat of their britches and the nap of their neck, and I'd throw them out the side of the tent. I'd go back and I'd preach a little bit. Here they come again. I'd grab them, throw them out. And I'm thankfully they were drunk. I can whip a drunk man most of the time. And I'm throwing them out. And I'm thinking, I've got to do something about this. This is getting bad. And I didn't have very many people. I just didn't. And so one night I'm up preaching. One comes, I throw them out of the side and I'm preaching. And one other starts at me. And I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. This has got to end. Well, he staggers to the front and he gets up there and he stands by me. I said, I can deal with that. So I start preaching. And I continue preaching. I'm going to throw him out if he's not taking my mic. And another drunk starts at me. I said, now this is really going to be bad. And when he gets up to reaching out to grab my mic, this drunk guy grabs him and throws him out. I I called my pastor, and he stood there. He was my bodyguard while I preached. I called my pastor and told him, he said, man, you need an usher. I said, I got one. He just stays drunk all the time. Praise God. I'm telling you, that's what God will do for you. He'll send help along your way. He'll take care of you. Trust in Him and know that He's God. Eight years ago, God gave me, I'm trying to hurry. Somebody's supposed to say, preach on. It's too late now. But 8 years ago, God gave me a little girl. She was 3 days old. They asked me to come get her. I was going to try to help find a family for her. And I'm sure you've heard this story more than once. But I go down and I pick her up. And I bring her home. And my wife and daughter teamed up against me. And the day I signed the adoption papers on my little Indian princess, my daughter-in-law called to let me know she was expecting a baby. So anyway, I started back over again with a baby after my kids were grown. Just a few days ago, she called me and said, Daddy, when I see your recliner and you're not in it, it's like I move to the world that has no trees, no flowers, and no grass in it. That gets me. And of course, it's like, say, as my little granddaughter says, Popo, my boyfriend. So I'm just telling you. But anyway, she would, her mom would put her in the bed, and when my wife would put her in her bed, sometimes during that, she'd sneak around and come around and tug at me, wanting up by me, and I'd sneak her up and cuddle up to her. She wanted to be by Daddy. Now, let me stop and say this, parents. There are things that when mama lays a rule or daddy sets a rule, don't go against what the parent stands with them, okay? Stand with the wife, stand with the husband. But there are some exceptions. So, anyway, man, she'd get all cuddled up to me. And during the night, there's this loud crashing sound downstairs of her house. And I don't know what it is. And she sets up and she begins to cry. And she's shaking all over. And just fear was upon her. And I said, baby, daddy's going to take care of this. This is going to be all right. And I said, let daddy take care of it. So I'll get my mag flashlight and I get my baseball bat in case somebody come to play ball in the middle of the night. There's weird people out there. You never know. So I go downstairs ready to play ball. And I look around and I find where something had fell over and I saw what the situation was. So I go back up there. I said, baby, it's okay. Daddy took care of it. And she goes, I got a big old daddy. And she laid down and went to sleep immediately. I'm preaching to you tonight. The next night of that deal happened, I preached, I got a big old daddy. And I'm preaching to you today that there are going to be things that happens in life. And there are going to be bumps in the middle of the night that will shake your world. But if you can keep the faith and know that God is in control and with Him nothing shall be impossible, He's going to take care of you, brother. I wish that I could tell you that when you get the Holy Ghost and you walk outside, that old ragged out pickup truck turns into a Mercedes Benz. But that's not the way it happens. You're going to keep driving that truck and be faithful to God. He may give you, He may not. I wish that I could tell you that when you get the Holy Ghost, the electric company calls up and says, is this Mr. Jones? Yes, it is. Mr. Jones, we heard you got the Holy Ghost. We want you to know you no longer have to pay your electric bill, but it don't work that way. Life goes on. Teeth decays. Hair falls out. Hair turns gray. You begin to walk funny. It's life. One man told me, he said, I get up and pray every morning at 4:30. Do you? I said, I roll over in the bed and say, oh God, does that count? I tried that one time and it gave me a bad spirit. But I'm just telling you, things are going to happen in life.
But if you can ever get the revelation that God is in control of whatever you're going through. And I really am about to stop. But let me just tell you, in 2004, for you that don't know my testimony, 2004, I kept spitting up blood. It was coming to my, when I get through preaching, there'd be blood on my handkerchief and I was choking. And I finally go down and I find a doctor in Belize and he tells me there's some kind of mass in your throat. You need to go get checked. A preacher in the U.S. hooked me up with a Christian doctor in Baton Rouge. I go in, I do the test, and when I get through with the test, long story short, I did have a cancerous thyroid, but the cancer got outside of that, got into my vocal cords, into my esophagus. But anyway, I go and see this man, and my wife and daughter's with me, and he's done the test now. We had to come back after the results, and I sit down in his office, and he takes the papers and he goes through them real quick and he takes his head and he bends over on his desk and he goes like this. I said, Doc, is everything okay? No. He said, you have cancer. I'm like, okay. What do I have? And you have cancer. I had a friend to die from this. I'm like, oh. He stands up. And for whatever reason, we had a reunion around the desk. He comes to me, his arms out. He's sobbing. And I stand up and I meet him. And he lays his head on my chest, weeping. And I'm here comforting my doctor. It's going to be okay, Doc. It's in God's hand, Doc. And I'm giving comfort to my doctor. By this time, my daughter, my wife is weeping, and I'm comforting my family and my doctor. And it's just going to be okay. It's in God's hands, and God's in control. And I left that place that day, and I never went back to him. I didn't care if I had a Muslim doctor with one of those things. I didn't care. I just wanted somebody that could be tougher than me. Now, I'm told I would lose my voice. Good chance I would lose or have a very rough voice. And I go through this scary moment. I go back to Belize. I called our National Assembly of Churches together and I preached to them. I announced to them I had cancer. I announced to them everything been told to me. Then I preached about a God that will take care of me, that would heal me, that was able. And I preached about a powerful saving God. We danced, we ran, we rolled in the floor. When I tell you we had a blowout service, we had a blowout service. It was a tremendous move of God. And then when I went home, I comforted my family some more. We laid down and went to bed. And sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, my eyes woke up, opened up, and tears began to run down my face. It dawned on me, I have cancer. And I went in, got into the dry tub, and I pulled the shower, had the lights off. I sat down in a dry bathtub, and I began to weep. God, I'm scared. I don't understand this. I know I'm telling everybody that God's able, and I know I'm preaching it so strong, and I'm acting like nothing's wrong, but I'm scared. You know what happened to me? Something went bump in the middle of the night. And I went to a meeting right after that. And at that meeting, Brother Tom Johnson preached. He preached about with a God, nothing shall be impossible. And I got a hold of something in that message. God sent Brother Johnson to preach to me. I'm going to be okay. I would tell you this, if I would have died from that, he's still God. Would you stand? I wish I could give you a perfect world where there no sickness comes, no suffering comes, bills don't come due. But I'm just going to tell you, that's not real life. Even living for Christ, things happen.
to even good people. But in that shaky, rocky world, I just come to remind somebody, we got a mighty God that wants to help you. Woo, hallelujah. A friend of mine called me and said, they've sent me home to die. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, I got a notepad and a pen, and I thought of everybody that I've done wrong or offended or maybe even and spoke out of the way. And he said, I made this list, and I went over this list over and over and called people and begged them, please forgive me. And he said, then I was set with my life, and I've tried to think of every little thing that I may have done that was out of the way to make God mad at me. And he said, I'm begging God to fix that for me. And he said, I really don't understand what I've done, but I've got God mad at me some way. And I said, man, let me just tell you something. I understand the judgments of God, and I understand examining yourself, but you need a revelation of who God is. God is not, if you're seeing God as some kind of big monster that's waiting for you to mess up where he can mess you down, that's not the God that we serve. The God that I'm preaching about today, he's willing to take whatever you got left and put it back together again. He's willing to work with the cancer. He's willing to work with that marriage. He's willing to work with that broken home. He's willing to go through whatever he has to go through. He'll reach down through the mud and get a hold to you. He's just not a big old mean God that's wanting to knock you further down. He actually sent me to tell you today that your situation is not impossible. He wants to help you. I'll tell you how much he loves you. He sent me to tell you he wants to help you with your situation. And you think, but oh, what I'm in and the things that I'm going through and the things that I'm facing is impossible. Oh no, brother, it's not impossible as long as God is in control. Do you know he loves you? I'm asking in this building today, if there's one person that you've had that bump in the middle of the night, you're here, nobody knows, you look like you're putting on a good front, everything's fine, but your world's been shaken. You heard the news, something you're going through, God wants to help you with it right now. Would you begin to make your way to the altar? We invite every visitor in this place, if you're here today and you don't know God, and you think, I've got so deep into trouble, I'm so deep into, I'm telling you, God will shake the foundations of a probation officer. He'll talk you to the ear of a judge. But you've got to get right with God and pray and get things straight. Why don't you come and pray? Why don't you come to God? Oh, I hear a bump in the middle of the night and I don't know what to do. The Lord is reaching to you. Come. Why don't you come? Sir, ma'am, God is calling you. The Lord is wanting to help you. Would you come and pray? Would you come and seek the Lord? Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Somebody get a hold to the Lord. Come on, pray, pray. Sir, ma'am, come on, brother. Come on, sister, put it in God's hands. Give it to Him.
I am amazed at your love.